A woman's role in society was so tied to her ability to bear children that she experienced significant disgrace if she was unable to conceive. Like Elizabeth said after the angel visited her to announce the birth of John the Baptist, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me, to take away my disgrace among men." Luke 1, verse 25. But was it Elizabeth's fault? Why was it her shame to bear? For the 15% of couples today unable to conceive, blaming yourself or feeling shame is an unfair burden to carry, and my hope and prayer is that you can find peace. It is heart-wrenching enough to have conceiving a child remain elusive without contributing to the pain by blaming yourself or your spouse. Particularly, my heart goes out to all the ladies out there who are battling what Elizabeth did nearly 2,000 years ago. Because until recently, infertility has been generally regarded as a women's health issue. Thanks to our recent better understanding of the human body, we have debunked the stigma, as science has shown us that it definitely takes two to tango. It may surprise you to learn that according to the U.S. National Institutes of Health, the cause of infertility is equally distributed. One-third can be linked to female reproductive issues, one-third to male reproductive issues, and the remaining third to unknown factors. Essential oils for infertility. I've had women, desperate for help, ask me about how to use essential oils to increase their odds of conceiving and avoiding miscarriage, and I'm always at a loss for a definitive answer because the research is so quiet in this area. What really confuses people is that if you search essential oils for infertility online, you'll get hundreds of thousands of hits. 536,000 at the time I wrote this audiobook, to be exact, linking you to the articles that offer all sorts of infertility solutions using essential oils. Let me be the one to burst the bubble here. Most of the so-called fertility blends and lists of oils you see out there in the blogosphere are nonsense. There is absolutely no scientific evidence suggesting that they really work. What we do know is that stress, diet, comorbidities, other health issues, prescription drugs, prior use of birth control, and a number of other factors can play a role in the fertility of both partners. We also know that oxidative stress is a leading cause of male infertility, and antioxidative supplementation produces a significant improvement in sperm motility, how well the sperm are able to move. Research suggests that because they are rich in antioxidants, some essential oils can help. But this is still experimental at best. One review of 7 studies assessing the effectiveness of the antioxidant-rich Satura jacuzzistanica essential oil found that it displays significant antioxidant activity and that when administered to male rats, it improved sperm quality and litter size. You've probably not been introduced to this oil yet because it's not readily available for sale to most consumers. Native to southern Iran, Satura jacuzzistanica is best known in the Middle East for its pain-killing and infection-fighting prowess. So far in this audiobook, I've tried my best to talk only about essential oils that you can easily purchase, but I'm making an exception for Satura jacuzzistanica, which is rich in carvacrol and thymol. It's a genus of the Lamiaceae family and is related to oregano and thyme, also rich in carvacrol and thymol, respectively. This is not to say that oral doses of oregano and thyme will get you pregnant. I'm just throwing it out there in case you're interested in trying something a little unconventional, such as taking a drop each of oregano and thyme oil in a gel capsule once a day for 3 to 4 weeks to see what happens. For women. Of the infertility cases linked with women's health, bad eggs are suspected to be a primary cause. This is related to diminished ovarian reserve, DOR, which is when the ovaries lose their normal reproductive potential, thus compromising fertility. Bad eggs can be difficult to diagnose and are often overlooked by gynecologists. That said, we do know that while DOR can result from disease or injury, it is generally just a normal result of aging. When it comes to situations like these, the best solution that I have found is to create a healthy environment in the body and focus on balanced body chemistry. Remember, the real power of essential oils is to help the body reach harmony. And using essential oils known to help the body reach homeostasis can do wonders. If you're struggling to conceive, try applying a 3-5% dilution of a known harmonizer, such as ylang ylang, over your abdomen daily for 3 to 4 weeks and see if that can restore the hormonal balance that promotes fertility. Or try the harmonizing blend that follows. Whatever course you choose, never lose hope. Keep trying different options, and I pray that you find the answer that you're looking for. Just do me a favor and keep me posted. I always love to read the medical miracles that flow through my inbox telling me how essential oils have changed people's lives. You can reach me at essentialoils@drericz.com. Harmonizing Massage Oil. 15 drops Ylang Ylang Essential Oil. 10 drops Sandalwood Essential Oil. 10 drops Clary Sage Essential Oil. 10 drops Lavender Essential Oil. 2 ounces Evening Primrose Oil. Supplies, 2-ounce glass jar. 1. Mix the essential oils in a glass jar. 2. Fill with Evening Primrose Oil and shake gently to mix. 3. Massage over the ovaries twice a day for 1 month. Essential oils to enhance your pregnancy. When Mama Z was pregnant with our first baby, she made the decision to give birth at home. Sabrina quickly realized that she was going to need a little extra help, so she contacted some key people in her support group. The point woman was her mom's good friend and prayer warrior, Cheryl Buck, a.k.a. Mrs. B. You may recall that Mrs. B helped heal Sabrina's burn when she used a toxic facial cleanser as a teenager. While they were strategizing in preparation for the upcoming birth, Sabrina asked Mrs. B to come up with an aromatherapy birthing kit. It has carried Mama Z through all 4 of our home births. Preparation breeds empowerment. The key to Mrs. B's protocol expands well beyond the physiological benefits of using essential oils. Having it at the ready provided Sabrina with pure empowerment, which is something that I believe to be grossly lacking during a vast majority of pregnancies and birthing experiences today. What's more, the chemical compounds in essential oils can greatly reduce the pain, stress, and anxiety that most women experience during birth. In fact, they can even help safely speed up the labor process. Without fail, every time Mama Z and I share our home birth experiences with people, we hear from women that they don't think they have what it takes. "Wow, that's amazing," they invariably say. "I could never do that." But nothing could be further from the truth. If you are pregnant and nervous about labor and delivery, no matter where you plan to do it, I want you to know that you do have what it takes. You were made for this. But if you still feel that you need a little help, I have found that using aromatherapy and other natural tools will give you a tangible reminder that you don't have to be afraid of labor. Using essential oils can help you walk into your birth experience with confidence. Key essential oils for pregnancy and labor. Aromatherapy use in midwifery is becoming a popular topic in the research community, and for a good reason. Mama Z's story is not an anomaly. Women have used plant-based therapies to successfully deliver their babies for thousands of years. The research suggests that essential oils are a cost-effective approach to help strengthen contractions, speed delivery, and minimize labor pains with virtually no side effects if used properly. They can also help relieve stress and anxiety and decrease nausea and vomiting. An evaluation of 8,058 mothers over 8 years confirmed essential oils' ability to minimize labor pains, finding that the use of pethidine, a synthetic opioid pain medication more commonly known as Demerol, decreased from 6% to 0.2% of the women. If you're worried about baby, don't be. Studies have shown that the number of infants hospitalized in the NICU is significantly lower for women enjoying aromatherapy during labor, which further supports that using essential oils during labor is quite safe and effective. Of the essential oils to use during pregnancy and labor, the following 9 are the most effective. 1 and 2, clary sage and Roman chamomile. Another helpful finding from the study of 8,058 mothers just mentioned is that a 1% topical solution of clary sage and Roman chamomile is one of the most promising aromatic techniques to help relieve labor pain. Application: rub a 1 to 2% clary sage and Roman chamomile oil dilution on the abdomen and small of the back to help relieve labor pains. 3 and 4. Neroli and orange. Having a long history of use as an antidepressant, aphrodisiac, and antiseptic, neroli oil is also exceptionally helpful for reducing labor pain. During a very interesting research study conducted in Iran, a group of 126 women in active labor were subject to 2 different interventions. Women in one group had fresh gauze soaked with neroli distillated water attached to the collar of their gown every 30 minutes. The other group had a similar gauze applied to their collar, but this was soaked only with water, no essential oils. The women's pain was measured when they were dilated at 3 to 4, 5 to 7, and 8 to 10 centimeters. First off, you've got to tip your hat to these women for not only being willing to participate in a study like this, but also having the mental capacity to concentrate on providing a pain score as they progress during labor. Truly impressive. Second, I try not to geek out over numbers and data too much, but bear with me on this one, because the following chart paints a picture of how powerful essential oil can be. Think in terms of 0 being no pain and 10 being the worst pain imaginable. Before intervention, essential oil group reported a pain level of 7.38, control group 7.52. At 3 to 4 centimeters dilation, essential oil group 4.97, control group 8.08. 5 to 7 centimeter dilation, essential oil group 6.65, control group 8.67. And 8 to 10 centimeters dilation, essential oil group 7.57, control group 9.46. The results came back with a resounding affirmation that simply inhaling neroli essential oil can significantly lessen labor pain and make the birthing process much more enjoyable. Of course, no one is saying that essential oils can make labor and delivery a walk in the park, but the data is telling. The average pain the women in both groups experienced was nearly identical before they started the different interventions. At early stage labor, dilated 3 to 4 centimeters, the pain the essential oil group experienced was nearly 40% less than that of the women in the non-essential oil group. Offer any woman in labor the opportunity to reduce her pain by 40% and see what she says. Women in the essential oil group experienced 25% less pain than the control group during the mid-labor phase, 5 to 7 centimeters dilation. Women in the essential oil group reported experiencing 20% less pain during the final stage of labor, 8 to 10 centimeters dilation, than the women in the non-essential oil group. The remarkable thing is that the women who enjoyed the healing benefits of neroli essential oil reported less pain at end-stage labor than women who didn't experience aromatherapy at early-stage labor. And these findings aren't isolated to neroli. Similar results have been found with orange. Application: put 3 drops each of orange and neroli in your diffuser at the onset of labor. 5. Geranium. Known for its use in perfume and skin care, geranium oil was evaluated in an Iranian study as a non-invasive treatment for stress during labor. In the study, researchers uncovered that attaching a piece of fabric with 2 drops of geranium onto the patient's collar resulted in decreased blood pressure, pulse rate, and anxiety levels during labor contractions. Application: add a drop or 2 of geranium oil into your diffuser mix during labor. If you don't have a diffuser or the hospital won't permit it, then attach a small geranium-soaked piece of cloth to your gown. 6. Rose. A biblical flower regarded by Muslims as the flower of the Prophet Muhammad, Rosa damascena is widely used throughout the Middle East and is cultivated for perfume, medicine, and food. Throughout the centuries, women have used rose oil for a number of health concerns, as it is one of the most powerful essential oils for women's health. Of particular interest for pregnant women is rose's effectiveness in managing anxiety during labor. In 2014, the Iran Red Crescent Medical Journal published a research study that randomly assigned 120 first-time moms into two groups. One group received an aromatherapy session and warm foot bath with rose oil at the onset of active and transitional phase of labor, while the other group received a warm foot bath with plain water. The essential oil group reported significantly lower anxiety levels. This reduction in anxiety is a benefit both to the women and to their fetuses. Application. Spray the active stage of labor spritzer into the air as desired throughout labor. 7. Lavender. Lavender is not just for home birthers like Mama Z. According to a recent review of the literature, lavender oils have been reported to be particularly helpful at reducing pain in the hospital setting among women who experience cesarean delivery, episiotomy, and perineal discomfort following vaginal birth. Application? Have the early, active, and transition stage of labor spritzers on hand and spray into the air as desired throughout labor. 8. Sage. In several aromatherapy circles, the use of sage oil in pregnant women is discouraged. However, a 156-person study published in 2014 found that using a sage incense mask for 15 minutes during labor worked to significantly decrease pain and shorten delivery times. As I mentioned, the key here is dosage. Straight sage oil is too concentrated to be considered safe for pregnant women, whereas the hydrosol can do the trick. Application? Make a sage hydrosol spritzer and use as desired. 9. Lemon. Kick morning sickness to the curb. Lemon essential oil can help. According to research, up to 40% of women have used some sort of lemon scent to relieve nausea and vomiting, and more than 25% of those who have used it reported it as an effective way to control their symptoms. In 2014, a study conducted in Iran set out to test this in the clinical setting to determine if lemon could indeed help pregnant women manage nausea and vomiting. This was actually the first study of its kind conducted on pregnant women, not mice or rats. The test was simple. To compare how women experiencing nausea and vomiting during their pregnancy responded to either immediately smelling lemon oil or a placebo. When they felt nauseated, they were instructed to simply place 2 drops of a solution of lemon oil and almond oil on cotton balls and take 3 deep breaths through the nose with the cotton 3 millimeters from their face. If necessary, they repeated this simple procedure 5 minutes later. Half of the women enjoyed a significant decrease in nausea and vomiting, and their symptoms steadily improved by the time the 4-day study ended. Nausea-free pregnancy inhaler. Store this in your purse so you can reach for it whenever you feel nauseated, and be sure to have one handy at work. 15 to 20 drops lemon essential oil. Supplies. Pre-cut organic cotton pad. Aromatherapy inhaler. 1. Place a cotton pad in the inhaler tube. 2. Drop the essential oils directly onto the cotton pad inside the tube. Alternatively, you can drop the essential oils into a glass bowl, roll the cotton pad in the oils to absorb them, and then insert it into the inhaler tube using tweezers. 3. When you feel nauseated or like you may vomit, open the inhaler and take a few deep breaths. Here is an audio clip from our YouTube companion guide.
4 pregnancies, all very much filled with morning sickness and nausea. How did you beat it? What did you do?
Lemon essential oil was a key for me. And I remember one time on the way to work, and I was fumbling in my car. I remembered, you know, lemon essential oil would work. I grabbed it. I could barely get the lid off. I couldn't even get it in the diffuser. I put it up to my nose and just inhaled, and it worked wonders. And so many times with nausea, especially during pregnancy, it's been a lifesaver.
Folks, research has shown that lemon essential oil, simply smelling it like Sabrina did, helps women, clinical trials, alleviate nausea. And we see in the Ayurvedic model, ancient Indian medicine has been using lemon for thousands of years. So if you got lemon on hand, chances are you do. It's so easy to do. And our recommendation is to use an aromatherapy inhaler. And there's a couple different kinds that you could get. There's the more expensive kind, and there's like the cheaper, cost-effective kind. It all depends on the grade of plastic and how fashionable you want to get. But how very easy it is to put lemon essential oil on a cotton swab that you put into a glass container, and then you just smell. Very easy. Aromatherapy inhalers are the way to go.
Special Synergy Blend. When it comes to essential oils, using one is good, and using a well-chosen few can be even better. In 2003, Korean researchers set out to determine if certain synergies exist among the oils that have traditionally been found helpful for pregnancy. The study compared a group of laboring women who enjoyed an aromatherapy massage using a 1.5% dilution of clary sage, geranium, jasmine, and rose essential oils on their back every 2 hours to a group of women who received no special intervention. They discovered that this special blend had a profound effect at shortening the first stage of labor. If you or a loved one is pregnant, do them a favor and make this speedy delivery massage oil blend to help move along the process. Speedy Delivery Massage Oil. 6 drops Clary Sage Essential Oil. 6 drops Geranium Essential Oil. 3 drops Jasmine Essential Oil. 3 drops Rose Essential Oil. 2 ounces fractionated coconut, jojoba, or almond oil, or a combination. Supplies: glass jar or lotion dispenser. 1. Mix the essential oils in a glass container. 2. Fill the container with carrier oil. 3. Massage over the small of the back every 2 hours from the time labor begins until the transition stage. Mrs. B's Protocol for Labor and Delivery. My personal favorites are the early and active stages of labor spritzers, and I asked Sabrina to make me some for my office. Don't laugh. I know that the kind of labor I put in at my desk is nothing compared to the labor that Sabrina went through to birth our babies. This was years before I really understood the power of essential oils, and I just enjoyed the smell. These blends remind me of our birth experience together and the courage and strength that I witnessed in my wife. Smell is so powerful and can be used to trigger positive memories and healthy emotions, and I instinctively was drawn to these scents during an exceptionally stressful time in my career. Early Stage of Labor Spritzer. This spray promotes relaxation, release of fear, clarity of mind, and a state of calm. 3 drops lavender essential oil. 3 drops neroli essential oil. 3 drops palmarosa essential oil. 10 drops organic grain alcohol, 190 proof. 10 drops witch hazel. Distilled water as needed. Supplies: 1 ounce glass spray bottle. 1. Combine the oils, grain alcohol, and witch hazel in the bottle. 2. Fill with distilled water and shake gently to mix well. 3. Use at the onset of early labor pains by spraying throughout the birthing room. Active Stage of Labor Spritzer. Promotes peace and harmony, release of fear and anxiety, and relaxation. 3 drops lavender essential oil. 3 drops neroli essential oil. 3 drops rose essential oil. 10 drops organic grain alcohol, 190 proof. 10 drops witch hazel. Distilled water as needed. Supplies: 1 ounce glass spray bottle. 1. Combine the oils, grain alcohol, and witch hazel in the bottle. 2. Fill with distilled water and shake gently to mix well. 3. Use at the onset of active labor by spraying throughout the birthing room. Transition Stage of Labor Spritzer. This spray promotes endurance and is energizing. 3 drops lavender essential oil. 3 drops clary sage essential oil. 3 drops peppermint essential oil. 10 drops organic grain alcohol, 190 proof. 10 drops witch hazel. Distilled water as needed. Supplies. 1 ounce glass spray bottle. 1. Combine the oils, grain alcohol, and witch hazel in the bottle. 2. Fill with distilled water and shake gently to mix well. 3. Use at the onset of the transition stage by spraying throughout the birthing room. Get ready to push, Spritzer. This blend promotes courage and is energizing. 3 drops peppermint essential oil. 3 drops rosemary essential oil. 3 drops eucalyptus essential oil. 10 drops organic grain alcohol, 190 proof. 10 drops witch hazel. Distilled water as needed. Supplies. 1 ounce glass spray bottle. 1. Combine the oils, grain alcohol, and witch hazel in the bottle. 2. Fill with distilled water and shake gently to mix well. 3. Use at the onset of the pushing stage of labor by spraying throughout the birthing room. Safety considerations to keep in mind. Despite the lack of any conclusive research to suggest that inhalation, internal or topical application of essential oils is at all harmful to pregnant women and fetuses, you'll see countless articles online advising against it. The reality is that women have and will continue to use essential oils and plant extracts while pregnant with no adverse effects to their babies. At this point, I hope that I have established pretty well that if used properly, essential oils are quite safe and effective to address a number of health concerns. While they rarely have side effects, they still come with inherent risks, and pregnant women should take great care when using them, just as they would with any natural or medical therapy. Problems can arise when pregnant women use essential oils flippantly, without following basic safety guidelines, or follow misguided advice they read online or hear from someone who lacks experience. Aromatherapists are a good place to start, but we need to remember that even what they recommend is open to debate. For instance, according to many in the aromatherapist community, pregnant and nursing moms should not use essential oils containing ethers such as fennel and anise. Also, because ketones are not easily metabolized by the liver, they can potentially be toxic, and high ketone oils like sage and hyssop are also not recommended. Let's discuss these briefly. Fennel. Recently, fennel has been charged as dangerous for humans, especially babies, because of the potential carcinogenicity of estragol, a chemical component of fennel essential oil. If you search online, you'll see it included with anise and other oils listed on various do-not-use lists for pregnant women. This is somewhat misleading, particularly if fennel is used in a blend and is diluted by a carrier oil. According to several Italian researchers, this allegation does not consider the remedy is prepared as a matrix of substances, and recent research confirms that pure estragol is inactivated by many substances contained in the decoction. As I've discussed before, we mustn't take individual component studies out of context. Just because estragol has the potential to be carcinogenic doesn't mean that essential oils containing estragol are necessarily dangerous. That depends on how the remaining chemical compounds within the essential oil itself and the carrier it's mixed with interact with each other. What this means is that these arbitrary online lists report only part of the story. And this bothers me to no end because they scare many well-intentioned essential oil lovers from using precious healing oils. Anise. Anise oil got a bad rap when 2 breastfed infants were hospitalized for a reported lack of weight gain, difficulty feeding, and a number of other alarming symptoms in 1994. Because the mothers of both children had been drinking an exorbitant amount of an herbal tea mixture that contained licorice, fennel, anise, and goat's rue to stimulate lactation, 2 liters each day, researchers blamed the anethole levels in anise. As a result, anise has been pretty demonized. Keep in mind that this conclusion was made without even measuring the anethole levels in the women's breast milk or testing the teas for their content, essentially making a premature judgment based on partial evidence. I believe this is yet another misguided, non-evidence-based recommendation against using essential oils. Other than these two reports, I don't see any cause for concern, as long as you heavily dilute 1% or lower. Regarding tea, there are such minuscule amounts of essential oils in each cup that there's no concern at all. Of course, it goes without saying that you need to be cognizant of your body. Discontinue use immediately and consult your healthcare provider if adverse reactions occur. Sage, hyssop, and jasmine. Personally, I don't see the point of incorporating hyssop into any pregnancy protocol because of the potential for it to act as a convulsant, producing sudden and involuntary muscle contractions. Although there is no evidence in the literature that this is a uterine stimulant or abortifacient, it would be wise to avoid it completely during pregnancy. When it comes to sage, however, the issue seems to be dosage instead of avoiding it by default. One systematic study I found reported that sage and jasmine can actually increase the level of oxytocin as an effective way to initiate labor, which can be very useful. This is why these oils are used in pregnancies that have gone past their due date. However, their overuse may result in uterus hypertonicity and fetal distress. Again, the key here is dosage, which is a reoccurring theme I have discovered that has helped me navigate through the muddy waters of what the research literature says versus what is used in clinical practice. The take-home message is that you want to avoid all internal use of sage and jasmine, and keep in mind that high topical and aromatic dosages can stimulate labor. In addition, here's a list of oils to stay away from that I adapted from the National Association of Holistic Aromatherapists, NAHA. Remember, there are dozens of alternatives to these oils. Essential oils to avoid during pregnancy. Essential oil, birch. Latin name, Betula lenta. Essential oil, camphor. Latin name, Cinnamomum camphora. Essential oil, mugwort. Latin name, Artemisia vulgaris. Essential oil, parsley seed or leaf. Latin name, Petrosilinum sativum. Essential oil, pennyroyal. Latin name, Mentha pulegium. Essential oil, tansy. Latin name, Tanacetum vulgare. Essential oil, tarragon. Latin name, Artemisia dracunculus. Essential oil, thuja. Latin name, Thuja occidentalis. Essential oil, wintergreen. Latin name, Gaultheria procumbens. Essential oil, wormwood. Latin name, Artemisia absentium. Take-home message. As with any supplement or pharmaceutical intervention, don't believe everything that you read on Dr. Google. Be sure that you are not led by fear, but guided by evidence-based information. This will empower you to take control of your health and the health of your family in a way that honors your faith. Specifically, here are the guidelines to consider. Use essential oils the right way by following the safety precautions you've learned in this audiobook, including proper dilution and shelf life. Take into consideration centuries of traditional herbal use. WWGGD, right? What would your great-grandma do? Don't make fear-based decisions. Always discontinue any pharmaceutical with the guidance of your physician or other healthcare professional, or natural intervention that causes adverse reactions, and consult with your healthcare provider immediately. With all this said, there are still more safety tips we need to consider. But first, let's discuss the key essential oils for labor and nursing. Vaginal care. Last but not least on the list of labor and delivery care priorities is to heal and moisturize the perineum, especially if you have an episiotomy or tear. Traditionally, midwives would recommend a concoction of garlic and dried herbs such as comfrey, yarrow, and shepherd's purse in a warm bath after delivery to stimulate healing, prevent infection, and reduce inflammation. Just ask Mama Z, and she'll tell you that her meal of gluten-free blueberry pancakes, eaten while soaking in an herbal bath, was the highlight of the birth. After the baby was delivered, of course. Alternatively, an aromatherapy sitz bath would work as well. In 2004, Korean researchers evaluated how sitz bath and soap application using essential oils of lavender, myrrh, neroli, rose, grapefruit, mandarin, orange, and Roman chamomile helped postpartum mothers who delivered vaginally with an episiotomy. They found that both the aromatherapy sitz bath and the soap helped heal the perineum. To speed up healing after birth or after any perineum trauma, try these recipes. After birth sitz bath makes one bath, 1 cup Epsom salts, 1 ounce evening primrose oil, 1 ounce jojoba oil, 1 ounce Dr. Bronner's unscented liquid Castile soap, 1 drop lavender essential oil, 1 drop Roman chamomile essential oil, hot water as needed. Supplies, medium glass bowl. 1. Pour the Epsom salts into a bowl. Stir in the carrier oils and soap until evenly distributed. 2. Add the essential oils and mix well. 3. Add just enough hot water to dissolve the mixture. 4. Fill the tub with 4 or 5 inches of warm water, making sure it's not too hot for your bottom. 5. Add the dissolved Epsom salts and oil mixture. 6. Sit in the mixture so the perineum is covered, and soak for 15 to 20 minutes. 7. Be sure to rinse both yourself and the tub afterward. 8. Try to do this every day for the first week postpartum. Perineum Healing Soap. When it comes to the all-too-common vaginal dryness that can follow birth, making your own essential oil-based lubricant can do wonders. Being prepared in this area will make all the difference in the world during postpartum sexual intercourse. To learn more about vaginal dryness and to find my gentle vaginal lubricant recipe, go to Chapter 17, where I discuss this in more detail. 1/4 cup distilled water. 1/4 cup Dr. Bronner's liquid Castile soap. 1 tablespoon evening primrose oil. 1 tablespoon jojoba oil. 1 teaspoon vitamin E oil. 3 drops grapefruit essential oil. 3 drops lavender essential oil. 3 drops myrrh essential oil. 3 drops neroli essential oil. 3 drops sweet or wild orange essential oil. 3 drops Roman chamomile essential oil. 3 drops rose essential oil. Supplies, plastic foaming soap dispenser. Glass is best, but since this will be in the shower, it's better to be safe than sorry in case the bottle drops. 1. Mix the water and liquid soap directly in the soap dispenser. 2. Add the evening primrose oil, jojoba, vitamin E, and essential oils. 3. Secure the pump and shake well. 4. Use as a feminine wash every day for the first month postpartum. Essential oils for nursing. Mama Z used essential oils extensively to help increase milk production, and she has also been a lactation consultant for many years, so this is familiar territory for us. The research on essential oils and human breast milk production is virtually non-existent, so Sabrina focused on more traditional herbal preparations. Somewhat unexpectedly, she quickly discovered that the oils extracted from these herbs were even more helpful than the herb itself. These DIY recipes were her mainstay, and still are, as she's currently nursing baby Z number 4 as I write this. Mama's New Milk Body Lotion. To help prep your body for the milk supply that your baby will need, apply this lotion after your shower when your skin is soft and your pores are open. This is actually part of Mama Z's morning ritual and has worked like a charm. 8 drops jasmine essential oil. 7 drops clary sage essential oil. 1 teaspoon vitamin E oil. 1 teaspoon aloe vera gel. 2 ounces carrier oil or Mama Z's oil base. Supplies, medium glass bowl, lotion dispenser, or glass jar. 1. Drop the essential oils into a bowl. 2. Add the vitamin E, aloe vera, K2, carrier oil, or Mama Z's base, and mix well. 3. Store in a lotion dispenser or a glass jar and use daily during the third trimester to help build a milk supply for your baby. On-the-go Mama's Milk Boosting Roll-On. 5 drops Clary Sage Essential Oil. 5 drops Jasmine Essential Oil. Carrier oil of choice, jojoba, and fractionated coconut oil absorb quickly and work best as needed. Supplies. 10 milliliter glass roller bottle. 1. Drop the essential oils into the roller bottle. 2. Fill the bottle with your carrier oil and shake well. 3. Apply around the breasts in a circular motion and into the armpits 2 or 3 times per day, starting in the third trimester. After labor, milk supply roll-on. After the baby comes, this recipe will help maintain a healthy supply of milk. 5 drops basil essential oil. 5 drops fennel essential oil. Carrier oil of choice, jojoba, and fractionated coconut oil absorb quickly and work best. Supplies. 10 milliliter glass roller bottle. 1. Drop the essential oils into the roller bottle. 2. Fill the bottle with your carrier oil and shake well. 3. Apply around the breasts in a circular motion and into the armpits 2 or 3 times per day. Safety considerations. Remember to avoid these essential oils during pregnancy and nursing. Birch, camphor, mugwort, parsley seed or leaf, pennyroyal, tansy, tarragon, thuja, wintergreen, and wormwood. Essential oils for postpartum support. Baby blues and postpartum depression are serious conditions, and my heart goes out to any woman who has suffered from either. By definition, the baby blues only last from a few days to 2 weeks after birth. Symptoms include anxiety and feeling overwhelmed, brain fog and trouble concentrating, depression and a feeling of sadness, emotional outbursts and crying, hunger and appetite issues, mood swings, and irritability. More intense by definition, postpartum depression is a proper diagnosis if these issues persist for more than 2 weeks. I don't feel postpartum depression has received the attention that it deserves in the public health world. It has been reported that 1 in 7 mothers are affected, but that number is likely much higher. There is a gross lack of proper diagnosis, as too many women are embarrassed to admit they feel bad after what's supposed to be the happiest moment of their lives. Using essential oils after birth. I thank God that my wife hasn't had to deal with postpartum depression, as it does run in her family. It's been such a concern for us that I've prayed specifically about it during all 4 pregnancies, and she has always been careful to have an ample supply of a special joy-inducing body lotion to use before and after the birth. She wanted something that both she and our babies could enjoy. As an added bonus, it also works wonders at keeping stretch marks away. This is hands down one of my favorite blends that we continue to love to this day. And you don't have to be pregnant, a mother, or even a woman to use it. This stuff is power in a bottle. It smells good. It works, and people rave about it. Now, you can create your own. If you're pregnant, be sure to have something like this on hand. If you know someone who is pregnant, or you're going to a baby shower soon, why not make it, wrap it up with a nice bow, and bless your loved one with a homemade gift. I promise you, it won't disappoint, and will be the hit of the party. Mama Z's Joyful Body Oil. 1 ounce carrier oil. We use Mama Z's oil base. 6 drops sweet or wild orange essential oil. 6 drops vanilla extract. Can be vanilla absolute. Supplies. Small glass bowl. 2 ounce glass bottle or glass salve jar. 1. Mix the ingredients in a glass bowl, making sure the essential oils blend into the carrier thoroughly. 2. Use as a body moisturizer or rub on your belly, wrists, and temples as needed for an overall emotional pick-me-up. 3. Store in a glass container. Note, this simple blend has worked well for us, but there is an unlimited number of blends that you can come up with. Bonus. Homemade vanilla extract. Try making your own vanilla extract for the Joyful Body Oil. It's super easy. 2 to 4 vanilla bean pods. 3 tablespoons of your favorite carrier oil, rum, or bourbon. Supplies. Small glass jar with lid. 1. Slice open the vanilla pods and scrape the seeds into the glass jar. 2. If you're using a carrier oil, pour it over the seeds in the jar. Store at room temperature for at least a week. Longer for more fragrance, shaking periodically. 3. If you're using a spirit for your base, add it to the jar and let it sit in a dark place for a couple of weeks before use. Here is an audio clip from our YouTube companion guide.
Let us know a little bit why you came up with this recipe, because it truly is joy in a bottle.
Sure. When I was pregnant, I wanted to come up with something really to help counteract postpartum depression, because my mom had had that with her 3 children, and it progressively got worse. So when I did my research, I found that orange and vanilla together were awesome to help counteract depression and, of course, postpartum depression. So I wanted to get the aromatherapy benefit of putting it on the baby, but then also use it on myself as well. I never had had postpartum depression, and I really believe that that this helped with so much of that. And even to this day, my kids love to put their Joyful Body Oil on every morning.
It's a morning routine.
15. Candida. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalms 34, verses 17 through 19. A few years back, a student approached me at the end of one of my essential oils classes. Aliyah's hands were wrapped in bandages, and she hid them carefully, embarrassed about how she looked. Aliyah told me that every month during her menstrual cycle, her hands broke out in oozing, bleeding sores. From what I could tell, she suffered from a very rare disorder called autoimmune progesterone dermatitis, APD. Still very misunderstood, it is suspected that APD is an aberrant skin response to rising progesterone levels during the premenstrual phase of a woman's cycle that occurs right before the menses. The presentation for each woman is different, but skin rashes of varying degree seem to be a consistent symptom. As hormone levels ebb and flow, the outbreak usually resolves within a few days of menstruation, only to recur during the next cycle. Aliyah suffered from a litany of other symptoms: brain fog, thinning hair, adrenal fatigue, chronic fatigue, insomnia, low libido, and compromised gut health. But what really threw me for a loop were the sores on her hands. I had never seen anything like it in my life, and evidently neither had all of the medical doctors, chiropractors, nutritionists, and functional medicine practitioners she had visited. Unfortunately for Aliyah, her hands never recovered between cycles, so her only recourse was to wrap her hands in soft bandages nearly every day, unable to even grasp a pencil because of the pain. Also, she was a mother of 2 very young children, so just think about how this affected her quality of life, changing diapers in excruciating pain, not being able to color with her daughter, and barely able to bathe and get herself ready in the morning. Aliyah's case could definitely be classified as a medical failure, as none of her medical practitioners knew how to help her. She had had virtually every medical test done that her doctors could think of, and was ultimately prescribed countless cortisone creams and supplements, to no avail. Aliyah almost went broke paying for the medical bills, prescriptions, and mass amounts of supplements she was taking. Completely strapped for cash, she asked for my recommendation about which 1 or 2 essential oils she should try. When I started to work with Aliyah, the first thing I recommended was that she stop taking all supplements to give her body a break, as the human body cannot thoroughly metabolize all of those natural chemicals, and they end up being excreted through urine and bowel movements. I walked her through a simple, thorough detox to naturally cleanse her gut and to help reset her immune system. There are a variety of strategies that can work in such situations, including monitored water fasts, the master cleanse, aka the lemonade diet, and simple detox protocols that do not require a massive amount of supplements. Be sure to work with a trained healthcare professional to develop a detox protocol that works for you. This is not something to undertake without professional guidance, particularly if you suffer from candida overgrowth. During her cleanse, Aliyah implemented some very strategic and targeted essential oil formulations to facilitate gut health and to boost her immune system. She applied Mama Z's Healing Skin Serum topically over her sores, enjoyed a version of my Sleepy Time blend at night, and carefully consumed antifungal, antioxidant-rich, and anti-inflammatory essential oils. The results were profound. In fact, Aliyah called it a miracle. Within a couple of weeks, her skin condition was completely resolved, and every symptom she suffered from had improved. Aliyah started to sleep better. Her sex drive returned. The brain fog disappeared. Her hair stopped falling out. She didn't have to consume a pot of coffee to get through the day, and she literally felt like a new woman. After her cleanse, we implemented an elimination diet, where she slowly incorporated safe foods like bone broth and lightly steamed vegetables into her diet while completely omitting all grains, dairy, and sugar. A commonly hidden infection, Candida overgrowth. In my opinion, the root of Aliyah's problems was an overgrowth of Candida, a naturally occurring yeast that resides in your mouth and digestive tract, along with billions of other forms of bacteria. Not only did all of Aliyah's symptoms steer me to that conclusion, but her blood results confirmed it. This actually confused her because she hadn't had a yeast infection or other obvious signs of too much yeast. In fact, Candida infections, candidiasis, can have three different presentations. 1. Oropharyngeal candidiasis, oral yeast infection or thrush. 2. Vaginal candidiasis, a vaginal yeast infection. 3. Invasive candidiasis, a systemic infection where candida species enter the bloodstream, what Aliyah had. It's important to keep in mind that not all women present candida overgrowth in the same way. Women typically don't go to their doctor unless they get a vaginal yeast infection, which puts them at risk of developing a systemic problem. If you suffer from a combination of the following symptoms, you may have a candida infection: brain fog, chronic fatigue, foul body odor, insomnia, low libido, sugar cravings, seasonal allergies. Vaginal yeast infections. Vaginal yeast infections are one of the most common reasons women visit their healthcare provider. In fact, more than 75% of women will suffer from a vaginal yeast infection at least once during their lifetime, and 50% will have a recurrent episode. Unfortunately, these numbers are only expected to increase because Candida thrives in so many environments. Candida thrives in acidic environments. Candida feeds on sugar and flourishes in patients with high sugar diets and or uncontrolled diabetes. Candida has a tendency to develop in immune-compromised patients with HIV or who are undergoing chemotherapy. Candida is more likely to thrive in individuals who take antibiotics, as the medicine wipes out friendly bacteria as well as pathogenic bacteria. With no friendly bacteria to keep it in check, Candida flourishes. Candida is triggered by vaginal dryness and tightness during sex. Certain strains of Candida have developed antifungal drug resistance, making it untreatable in many cases. Typically experienced as genital itching, burning, and sometimes a thick vaginal discharge that resembles cottage cheese, the symptoms of a yeast infection are similar to other genital infections, so it's important to visit your healthcare provider if you have any of these symptoms. In most cases, the infection is caused by the Candida that is already living in a woman's body. It is actually quite normal for Candida to exist in the mouth, gastrointestinal tract, and vagina without any complications. The problem occurs when something goes awry, such as an increase in vaginal acidity, hormonal imbalance, or undue stress, which compromises the immune system. In some cases, Candida infections can be sexually transmitted, but that is rare. The problem with antibiotics and antifungals. Urinary tract infections, UTIs, are another common ailment that many women suffer from. The good news is that essential oils are an extremely effective natural therapy for these painful infections. Applying a 5% dilution of traditional antibacterial oils like clove, lemongrass, oregano, and thyme over the abdomen 2 to 3 times per day can do a wonderful job stopping the infection. Sage is also a recommended therapy. In a study comparing basil, lemongrass, and sage essential oils against microorganisms isolated from the urinary tract infection, sage exhibited enhanced inhibitory activity with 100% efficiency against Klebsiella and Enterobacter species, 96% against Escherichia coli, 83% against Proteus mirabilis, and 75% against Morganella morgani. In a study evaluating Staphylococcus aureus and Escherichia coli, bacteria that are both known to cause urinary tract infections, palmarosa oil was shown to be an effective remedy. Unfortunately, rather than targeting UTIs naturally, far too many doctors prescribe antibiotics, which put women at risk of also developing a yeast infection, since these drugs destroy key healthy bacteria that protect the vagina from candida overgrowth. Remember, your human body contains approximately 30 trillion bacteria and about 1 quadrillion viruses. You need plenty of friendly bacteria to keep the harmful bacteria in check. Multidrug-resistant Candida albicans is on the rise because antifungal drugs have been overused and are all but useless at resolving the root cause of the infection. Couple this with a highly acidic diet that's rich in sugar, grains, and dairy, and the perfect environment for candida outbreaks exist in women all over the world. To complicate matters, the situation has become somewhat grim because antifungals are known to cause nervous system damage. Even though the FDA has finally issued a warning against using these drugs for uncomplicated infections, doctors still do every day. Be sure to question your doctor if she prescribes the following: ciprofloxacin, Cipro; gemifloxacin, Factiv; levofloxacin, Levaquin; moxifloxacin, Avalox; norfloxacin, Noroxin; ofloxacin, Floxin. The solution is simple. Use antibiotics and antifungals only when absolutely necessary. Easier said than done, right? This is where choosing the right healthcare provider is key. You should be able to work with your doctor to manage simple infections naturally first. Then, if you don't get the results that you're looking for, consider more aggressive measures like drugs. Top 7 essential oils for Candida. It's important to point out that most of the essential oil recommendations out there for Candida focus on treating vaginal infections or thrush, not invasive candidiasis. This is not to say that essential oil protocols are non-existent for systemic Candida overgrowth, but in my opinion, you'll be better served if you use essential oils in conjunction with significant dietary changes as your first line of defense. This is particularly true if you're trying to treat a vaginal yeast infection or oral thrush. As with Ali's case, I have seen some dramatic results when the following 7 essential oils are used to treat Candida overgrowth. 1. Tea tree. By far, the go-to antifungal oil is tea tree. Tea tree has a long history as a skin treatment and air purifying agent, and has been used with great success to treat fungal infections, especially Candida. Application: douche up to twice a day to treat a vaginal yeast infection using the following protocol. Similarly, oil pulling with lavender and tea tree can help oral thrush. If in a sexual relationship, make sure your partner is applying a 1% dilution of tea tree body oil over his or her genitals to prevent passing the infection back and forth. As noted earlier, it's rare for Candida to be passed between sexual partners, but it's better to be safe than sorry. Note: many conventional store-bought douches are filled with irritant chemicals and artificial fragrances, so I recommend avoiding those. Instead, just get a douche bag and DIY with essential oils. Candida douche. 2 drops lavender essential oil. 2 drops tea tree essential oil. 1 teaspoon raw honey. 1/2 cup warm distilled water. Supplies. Small glass bowl. Douche bag, which you can find at most drugstores, or squeeze bottle. 1. Mix the essential oils and honey in a glass bowl. 2. Add the water and stir until the honey dissolves. 3. Fill a douche bag with the solution. 4. Sitting on the toilet or squatting in your shower, rinse the vaginal cavity using the douche bag or squeeze bottle. 5. Immediately afterward, wash the vulva